Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy. I never knew.
Think I wanna hit the horns.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's the 7th month, 10th day of July. Welcome to World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning. It's going to be a rocking, socking morning this morning. I am just so excited to be here. As always, read your African American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication that you can get daily We have the Texas Metro News as well as the Garland Journal. No excuse. No excuse for the news. So much going on, so little time to do it. We'll have some folks on. Remember, this platform is for you. If you have anything that's going on in your area, please feel free to use this platform. We need to know. I tell you, put it in a Bible is what we always said. You couldn't find out anything once it's in that Bible. But we want to open that Bible up today and find out what's going on throughout this country. Some of the things that we're going to cover this morning, still the insurrection, January 6th, boy, it's getting hot and heavy. That's how I see it. I want to know how you see it. Are we really going to get to the truth? Are we really going to punish or recognize who is the guilty culprit? Inquiry minds want to know. Shootings. It's a shame. Since May 24th, you wouldn't believe the amount. And even since last Sunday, you won't believe the amount of shootings that occurred throughout. We're going to talk about Brittany Griner. Let's really get into this a little bit. I know we're pulling for her to come home. But let's as they say, when you never cry until you peel the skin off an onion. Well, let's peel this onion this morning and talk about some things. Ketanji Brown Jackson, we're supposed to be happy. We are celebratory of her accomplishments. But it's a lot of stuff going on in America, in this world. And I use stuff because it's Sunday morning. Let's talk about things that we should be celebrating. We're not even able to celebrate. Gas prices going down. President Biden making a trip that he didn't want to make. You know, everything's political. Everything's about moving that needle. We'll check on that. Vaccine for kids rolled out. Let's get your thoughts on that as well. All in 2 hours on The World According to Drew. I tell you, I'm so excited this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning here in Dallas. Sun is shining in Studio A this morning. That only means one thing. How hot will it get today? Yesterday in my vehicle, 109. 109. The air conditioner was going, but I was sweating. Just thinking about 109. We'll check around the country and see what's going on, too. Let me bring in the Prime Minister Oak Cliff, the Chief Investigator of Keith Avenue. None other than the world-famous Triple H, Harold Horatio Hubbard. Good morning, sir. He's a little muted. He'll come on in when he realizes he got mute on. Harold?
Hey, what's going on, my brother?
I know you was on time late.
You got me on time delay.
A little time delay.
I never know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, good morning to you, my brother.
Good morning, man.
Wow.
We didn't quite make it in, so I'll be kind of mobile here for a minute.
Okay. I appreciate any contribution you make, which is great. You know, as we talk, you know, I think about where you grew up and everything and how things are going in Dallas. It's quite interesting how things are unfolding here and how the gas prices, did you notice they're coming down a little bit?
Yeah, I got some this morning for 407. I was like, shoot, should I fill up? Or see how low it's going to go. You know what I mean? Ain't that a shame? You know, a year ago, it was, 270?
Yeah, right around $3. Yeah.
You know, now we happy to see it close to $4. I mean,
something back down. And even with the gas situation, a lot of people are blaming the president, which it comes with the territory. We blame the president quite a bit, no matter who's in office. Not everybody, but, you know, for the most part, a lot of people would. And then it's kind of like playing cards. You know how you bluff when everybody think you're hoping all the trumps. Oh, that's a bad word, but we know what sense of the word we're trying to use with that one. What's your trump card?
Right.
The thing is, the game is changing right before our eyes. We fail to realize that Ukraine being under attack is affecting the global perspective from gasoline. But we're blaming the president, and that's fine. You know, he knew what he was getting in. The position, what position you would have to stand on. I understand that. I truly understand. There are a lot of things on this plate. I approve of some things that have gone on, but we need to see a little bit more now if he's going to strengthen his position in the future. And to me, Harold, it doesn't matter which president is in there when it comes to right now with the American people. And what I mean by that, as consumers in this country, we're all about seeing things getting done. Right now it's gas. Right now the housing market is out of control. We need some regulation on that. We really do. People are buying, and we can look right here in Dallas. We can look in Tampa, a lot of places, where people sell their houses so they don't want to stay in the old neighborhood. Let's just get rid of it. Folks, you don't realize, and I'm starting to realize, you got a gold mine.
Right.
You got a gold mine.
Right.
Riding through Oak Cliff, Texas. Look, and for those who don't know, Oak Cliff is a neighborhood just like Jackson Heights, Culver City, West Tampa, just for those, we have some Florida folks on. It could be over Jay Gates Park. We're going to really break it home. People want that property. They want that property for $5, $7 for $30.
Yeah.
We can see the transformation when you go down Ann Arbor, those who are in the Dallas area. From Marcellus all the way. I call it Marcellus. No, I call it Marcellus. That's what. Yeah, I done got acclimated now, Harold. Marcellus Avenue. And you call it what, Harold? Help me out.
Marcellus.
Well, y'all put some vowels in places I didn't even know existed. But, you know, I'm catching on. I have to be bilingual. When you're over there, you say Marcellus, so everybody know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, on the other side of town, Marcellus.
It runs right parallel with Lancaster.
Yeah. And then let me show you. Lancaster. L-A-N-C-A-S-T-E-R. Again, L-A-N-C-A-S-T-E-R. It was a famous actor.
Yeah.
His first name was Bert. And what was his last name, Harold?
Lancaster.
That's how you
pronounce it. He got famous and moved to Lancaster, California, and started calling it Lancaster. He was
Lancaster. Pennsylvania.
He was Lancaster. He grew up as Lancaster.
And that's how they pronounce it, right?
You know what's so weird about it? As country as Fort Worth is, they call theirs Lancaster. You know, and Fort Worth has got to be the most countryest place you ever want to go. Without leaving the Midwest.
Well, is it safe to say they like to embrace their Western history? Is that a good way to say it?
That's what they blame it on.
They're embracing that history. But with that being said,
you can drive a minute.
A lot of things going on. I've always talked about Chocolate City, not D.C., not Atlanta. I was talking about Dallas, Texas, the chocolate city, as far as management of our top offices in the world. Mayor black, city manager black. At one time, the sheriff is still black. The DA is black. Chief of police was black. Fire chief black. You know these folks are turning over in their grave. Turning over in their grave that city hall was covered. The county and the city covered. And I say it covered being nice. Let me reframe that, please. Understand where I'm going. We were colored. It was colored. Every office, major office in Dallas. Well, our chief of police changed. She was a, I must say, a graduate of Grambling State University. Harry, I do mention some other HBCs, but we know we family. we family. And she was wearing it proud, but there was a problem. They worked out of the system. She got paid, but they worked out, still getting paid. Said
wow.
that she could control the gun violence in Dallas a little better. Last
Has
I checked,
gotten...
not in the southeastern quadrant of the city.
Exactly.
Ain't much pleasant in Pleasant Grove right now.
Right.
You have people
right.
afraid to come out. And they get dark
That's
at great. 9, what, 8:30. They in the house 5 o'clock. Locked up. Praying, barricading. Had it been Renee Hall, former chief of police of Dallas, Texas, she has no control of the city and the shootings. Well, a lot has kicked off, or should I say a lot has been shot off in Dallas and around this country. What are we going to do about that gun control?
Man.
Supreme Court justice let you know. We'll open it up in New York. 8 million people. There are 8 million people on top of each other. Somebody going to get
right.
their foot stepped up. Somebody going to get elbowed on the subway tight, and they pack it.
Yep.
You're just giving people a green light to shoot. Now, I say that started with New York, but let's get closer to home. We can carry a gun without a license.
Yep. Openly.
I wish I could find that song. Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Wild Wild West. So, Harold, I'm going to get me a holster that I can tie to my leg. So I can walk the street. Now, you know, my tan is a little stronger than most. I might not get too far. You might get 3 steps in. I might not get 1 in.
Right.
But you say if I can carry a gun. I'll never forget several years ago when we had the NRA in Dallas. When they were putting signs, you can walk in with your gun. Most of the time you go places, tell you, you can't walk in with a gun.
Right.
Guns are not allowed.
Yep.
But that's what was the famous hamburger place on the West End? And I feel so bad for the West End. They say, like, they've been pruned back too far. We don't even go down there anymore. I think it was called Heart Attack Burger. Remember that place called the Heart Attack Burger?
Uh-huh. Judge Roy Bean or something like that, wasn't it?
Well, that's the ride over at Six Flags.
No, I think that was the name of the place.
Yeah, I think it was called a Heart Attack Burger. Check your resources
that's,
for me.
That wasn't the name
they
of
had
the place.
They had the Heart Attack Burger, the Stroke Burger, had all the cheese and everything on it. Check that out for us right quick. But when the NRA was here, people were able to carry their guns on in a host. NRA was in Houston, right around the time of Uvalde, back around in May 24th-ish. They wanted it to cancel. The city wouldn't dare cancel it. NRA did not cancel. They had a speaker. We know who the speaker was. The same gentleman that's on the hot seat being talked about for the insurrection day. Seems like he has nine lives. He's better than any cat I know. And again, Texas, Alabama, Florida, New York. Why don't we just go from sea to shining sea? Things are changing right in front of us. People who have had guns illegally all their life, now they can bring them out here. That snub nose 38 Uncle Leroy gave you back in 1970. Where's the maintenance? You have people carrying everything. Guns that are new, guns that are old, guns that are well kept. Look, I'm rhyming this morning. Some guns are new and some are old. Some that are not kept that need to be sold. But we're going back.
Mm-hmm.
You see the day coming again where we can park our horses up to the hotel.
Yeah, in Fort Worth. They already there in Fort Worth.
Yeah. You pull right up and tie your horse up. Now, depending on where you're in Fort Worth, they jacking cars, they jacking horses too. So but you know we make a little mockery, but we seem to be going backwards on a lot of issues, and we need to be progressive. We need to be headed north instead of south. But that's where this country is going. You know, I talk about all the shootings. All the shootings that we have from the 24th. I just want to give you a little bit of it, Harold, from last weekend.
Okay.
And look, I'm turning the page. Several pages. June. Oh, my God, unbelievable amount of shootings. Where's the filter? But just from last Sunday alone, and this is, you look at the whole month of July already, we've captured some things. But from the third, last Sunday, you have four people shot in Tacoma, Washington. Surprise, Arizona, seven people, three of them dying.
Nice.
Mullen, South Carolina, four people shot. Manassas, Virginia, four people shot. Chicago, this is actually the 21st reporting of shooting. Five people shot in Chicago. Richmond, Virginia, six people. Kansas City, Missouri, four people. Highland Park, pretty fancy neighborhood in Chicago, 32 people, seven dead. Sacramento, five with one dying. Boston, Mass., four shootings. Kenosha, Wisconsin, does that ring a bell?
Yep.
With a young man crossed in the area where the young man crossed the border, cried in front of the jury, got off. Let me cry in front of the jury. Oh, they called me everything but me. Everything but me. But they had five shootings with one death. New York, four shootings, or four victims of a shooting. Colorado, four people shot, one killed. Minneapolis, 7 people shy. Oakland. And now these are, this 4th of July, I'm talking. 5 people shy. Shreveport, Louisiana, right to the street. 4 people shy, 1 dead. 3 vehicles engaged in a running gun battle, leaving 1 dead and 3 others injured. Gary, Indiana, 10 people with 3 dying. Youngstown, Ohio, 4 with 1 dying. 4 shot, 1 dying. Rochester, New York. Are we just on the 5th? On the 5th. Something has done. Even my hometown, 4 people shot, nobody killed, in an area called Jackson Heights.
Man.
It's just unbelievable.
Something got to be done, man.
Well, my question to the audience today, what should we do? That's just one of them. What should we do? Is there anywhere curbing this gun violence? What do you think? I know we mentioned some things, but people have other thoughts. That's one question. This week, Rich pleaded guilty. I have a question. I think in the way it looks, it might be she might be a political pawn setting up for things. But I want to know, if you have these going through to Russia, what did TSA do when she was here on this side? When I've gone through TSA, it's almost like you got your personal items. You might as well put in another bag, and they'll open your bag up, look through it, all your things. I had to catch myself on a Sunday morning. All your things got exposed.
Yep.
I had a steak in one of my bags, steak for a wind banner. I didn't know it was pointy. They caught it, told me I could fly with it, but I had to put it in my luggage, so I had to check another $50 when I just didn't put it in the box. So one of my carry-ons went underneath. Another $50 for a steak. A lot of people get on with certain things that they shouldn't. Now, had TSA confiscated Brittany's items, they'll take it, I'm sure they find things, then that may have helped her arrival over in Russia. She's been over there a long time, and we want her back. But I'm reminded of a diplomat that went over to the Philippines, and his child was getting into devilishment and got caught. Can you remember, Harold, what his punishment was?
No. Somebody like Canaan?
Canaan, yes sir. Yes sir.
That was in Thailand.
Thailand, okay, thank you.
Yeah, man, I was in the military during that time, man. It's pretty bad. You know, you couldn't even, you get caught spitting out your chewing gum on the sidewalk, you could go to jail.
Well, the point I'm trying to say is when we go to other countries.
Yeah, you got to know the laws.
You got to know the laws, and you have to abide by the laws. I'm just saying that in general. And the great philosopher from Coming to America, when he told King Joppy Joppy, I don't know what you're doing, but you're in America, Jack. John ain't said that. You're in America.
Yeah.
So when we go abroad, you have to adhere. Understand what's going on. If you do things the right way, then we don't have to have this discussion. And I'm not saying, I'm just bringing facts. I want Brittany home, too. But I think they set the table with Brittany. maybe a political pawn to get somebody out over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how. There's quite a bit going on.
Right.
Let's get her back. What do we have to do to get her back? You know, as a big political figure, you hear things where if it was LeBron, you would have had him back. But I understand with the government, not quite that simple. Because there's some underlying issues that Russia is concerned with by this capture of her. She's been playing for them for years. A lot of WNBA women have been going over there. But let's have our own open conversation about that. Gun laws. The assault on democracy. Roe versus Wade. Gun laws. Whatever. All you got to do is press one. We'll get you in. Let's just have an open conversation this morning. Harold, because it's getting to the point now, if we don't talk about it and try to stir up some conversation that we can take it. We have people from around the country where we can just start the line here. So they can talk to the kids and the grandkids and people, just people that they come in contact with. But my question, if TSA was doing their thing, they may have stopped what happened in Russia. We know how they stand, but we got some work to do on our end too, of getting us accustomed, getting us acclimated to what needs to be done, not only on our soil, but foreign soil as well. Folks, I want you to read, just read. When you go out of the country, kind of find out what's going on. We need that to maybe save a lot of embarrassment, a lot of harm to those individuals. Because America's still holding the biggest piece of pie in this world. And they would love to get up. They would love. Go ahead, Harold. Sound like you're about to say something.
No, I'm good. I was just saying that kind of interesting the approach of just outright admitting guilt is supposed to bring more leniency since they find 99% of their people guilty. So it's more or less, you know, taking responsibility, looking for leniency of the court. I thought that was a very interesting angle to take.
Right.
She did it.
And
that, she had it.
Right. But then again, with the lawyers, most of our lawyers over here don't have Russian privileges.
Right.
Just like the court don't have privileges over here. There's so many factors that can be considered on that. Was she under duress saying guilty? We don't know.
The underlying current is that Biden advised. So we'll see how that goes. You know, okay. All we can do is see.
Mm-hmm. But let me peel the onion off. Pull the skin off the onion for a minute. I cannot remember the year, but I remember Jesse Jackson went over and got some prisoners from the Middle East. The president didn't move. If you could help me out, those in the audience, let's try to remember the year. I think it was had to be in the 80s, maybe, 80s, 90s, where he went over. Might have been on the Bush years that he went over and old man Bush, I'm sorry, let me give him his honor, George Herbert Walker Bush. And Jesse Jackson went over to to a foreign country and got the prisoners. That's what we were thinking about. Do you think we're going to have somebody like that now to go over and pull it as well?
I was watching yesterday that some guy that has already negotiated the release of some people from Russia is saying he's going to go over too. So maybe they'll give him a shot first, you know.
But see, everybody wants to see America.
It is weird, though, now that you mentioned that how quiet the black leaders are on this matter. Now that you mention it, I haven't heard anything.
Now, the black leaders in certain areas and that we're close to, we're hearing, you know, discussion. But from our global black leaders, we have not heard anything from them. There are several out there on that national stage that we would like to hear, see what their thoughts are.
You know, you haven't heard of a peak.
No? You know, we have some of our local leaders that have spoke out, and we hear
could
their cries.
Could it be the fact that she's openly gay? But yet still your choir directors are flamboyant. I mean, I'm just, don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. It could be a number of things. You know, another athlete. You know, another privileged athlete, they may say.
Yeah, of course you're going to have people with that angle.
Yeah, naysayers. You're going to have naysayers. We understand that. But when other people are captive, we try to go get them. But I just wanted to open the conversation because we're not out there on the main media campaign all the time. There are some representatives that are out there that still things have to go through the news manager or the producer of certain items. But we need to just have a good old conversation about things. And hold on, Harold. We got a caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the World According to Drew. What's going on in your world this morning?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm thinking this whole thing with Brittany Griner. She's been playing over there for a few years, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm of the opinion now, this is all political, because this can't be the first time that something like this has occurred. If you've been playing over there all these years, how would you slip up and do something different as far as being your luggage this time than you would normally have?
Right.
It's my question. So
right, but again,
I think they've taken this opportunity to I think it's going to be a prisoner swap is what they want to eventually try to get to.
I think
that's what the end game was or is.
Hold on, Harold, 1 second. Say it again.
According to her, she packed in a hurry, which is kind of funny when you know that this trip is coming annually. You know, so it's a lot of things going on. I do definitely agree that the prisoner swap is the end game, and it most definitely will be someone far more dangerous than a WNBA basketball player, you know, globally. So, I mean, I'm not belittling her importance by no means. But what I'm saying is it's most likely going to be someone with terroristic ties, you know?
Either terrorist ties or spy, or former spy.
Right.
Right.
Right. So,
my thing is you've got to, if she's, if you're over there and you're playing in the WNBA and you've been going back and forth traveling, I mean, you've got to know the law of the land, so to speak, as far as what you can and can't, you know, have.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And here's another
angle.
Know,
yeah.
Yeah. But here's the angle, guys. Someone with a passport is quite familiar with the fact that things are different when you're traveling internationally, okay? So
yeah.
so take that into account. Now, like I said, back in the day before 9/11, I got caught with bullets and my shaving kit, and all they did was help them. You know, so I'm not really just throwing stones at her, because, and I definitely don't want to take away from the punchline that it's a political ploy. But there's some responsibility that she has to bear, and I believe that's where our president was going with having her plead guilty, taking responsibility, and setting up this swap, you know, rather than going not guilty in this drawn-out procedure. You know, guys, it's going to be forever, you know. And so that's the angle I believe.
Because I just can't believe she's the first person or even the first athlete that's had that in their luggage or in that situation. But like you said, they use it as an opportunity for a political end, which would tend to believe she may have, you know, this may have occurred before, and you know, and there was no consequences, or it was either just confiscated or looked the other way, or you know, or and nothing happened. Because I mean, you just, if there's any chance of it, it's something that's going to cause you to be detained, and it's that big of a deal, I mean, you've gotta have some kind of foreknowledge, you know, of that, especially if this is not your first, second, or third time. You know, you've been playing over there year after year, because I guess this is how they supplement their income, you know, playing, you know, in foreign countries during the off-season.
Right. But then again, let's back up. TSA, what happened? They go get their luggage. TSA, oh, she's a star, let her go.
Mm-hmm.
We can't drop our cars on our side either.
Mm-hmm.
Are we turning our back on our people or the safety of the people that are going abroad? Is it a conspiracy? Look, let me take it too far to the left. That we're going to set this one up. Let's go back to the Herald, the different prejudice that people may or may not have in this subject. Are we going to let it go on this one? And then let you know that? I'm looking at every possible scenario that could have occurred. How many people travel in and out? If you have a bottle of liquor over 3 ounces, any liquid over 3 ounces, what they make you do? Pack it or throw it away?
Right.
And not that he was traveling international. You remember Michael Vick with the water bottle that was used to hold marijuana, and it still had the odor. Still had the odor of it. So weird, man. A lot of things going on.
But when you're in the public eye, you know, we all have to be careful. But when you're in the public eye, you have to be extremely careful, because some people will get you because of who you are. I don't like him. Never liked her.
Have you ever wondered that maybe her origin, flight, started somewhere where that wasn't illegal? You know, we have some of the most confusing laws known to mankind. You can do in one territory what you can't do in another. Have we looked at that angle?
Yeah. Well, that's a great angle. Do you think somebody maybe has set it up? Hey, we'll let you buy. Hey, hey, she dirty. When you get over to Russia. See, you never know. You never know around here how people play.
And see, that's the part that what I was saying, that perhaps this is something she's been able to do before without any issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they know this, and, okay, when she comes through this time, hey, we're going to pop her.
Hey.
Yeah, but it's different circumstances, too. You got a lot going on. Our association with Ukraine doing this attack by Russia, it could be something of that nature. It could be, what can we do to get our prisoner free? Because I can't, Big K, or I'll look it up, or Harold, check your resources on that. A guy that's over here that they're going to use the leverage to potentially get him out. And I think that's where it's leaning.
Yeah, that's the end game. I think that's the end game. There's no doubt. It's just the question is, you know, her getting caught up like she got caught up. Like I said, my theory is this is probably not the first time that this may have been transported, or she may have just had it, you know, on a luggage, on a person or whatever. And it may be just a known thing that, hey, and they just didn't let it slide before. But now we know this person does this. So, hey, let's use this as our, you know, as our tool to have a political, you know, play on the board. Now we got another play. So I don't know, man. You just,
it's quite bad.
I haven't traveled a whole lot internationally, but that'd be one of my worst nightmares, to be locked up abroad.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. That would be everyone's nightmare. But, you know, again,
I've got some hard stories man, from the military.
Yeah, hard stories. And, you know, right before you got on, Lonnie, you know, we talked about Harold said in Singapore. I thought it was right. What did you say, Harold? Thailand. With a young. Thailand.
Yeah,
with a young.
You know
guy.
What? It may have been Singapore. It may have been. It was one of those two. It may have been Singapore. Now that I think about it, Andrew, because Singapore is a little bit cleaner than even Thailand. But yeah, they don't play, man. They don't play.
The openly caned it. Well,
right. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
And then when you were talking about Jesse Jackson earlier, I think Jesse freed prisoners on a couple of things. I think the one y'all were referring to maybe was Syrian prisoners, I think. Somebody was in Syria, probably. I think that's when Reagan was in office, maybe. I think that's when Reagan was in office, I think.
Right. But let me twist that up. Jesse had aspirations of running for president.
Right.
Right.
Right. That's what I said. So he had the political clout to maybe, you know, for somebody to, you know, to be owing somebody. You know what I'm saying? So that's how he was able, you know,
to do that.
And he was a major player at the time, you know, truth be told. He was a major player politically at the time.
All right. So I want you to cast your stone in the water on this gentleman who's desperately trying to get back to the White House. You think they'll show up? And go rescue Bridget.
No, she ain't a voter. She ain't a voter. He ain't an LGBTQ person. You know, he ain't none of that.
Yeah. And I think he got enough other troubles, you know, right now.
Right. Then there's that.
He trying to grease as many. Yeah, you're talking about the one that had some towers named after him and whatnot, and you know,
I've always considered myself to be a math scholar. I think it's one more than 44 and one less than 46.
Yeah.
And with everything he's going through, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Or somebody, even you know, somebody
that may take some attention off
advantage.
Of him, you know?
Yeah. Political advantage, somebody's going to look for him.
Yeah, in the world of politics, especially when you start talking about, you know, politics of this era, ever since he's, you know, been in play, it's like they threw the rule book out. The morals, I'll say they threw, the what little bit of morals there were that we could possibly refer to, all those, they got torn up. The morals and scruples and a lot of the unspoken, you know, rules, so to speak. Yeah, they.
Right.
Yeah, he trashed them. He trashed them, and to the point that, you know, now we threaten, you know, with the highest court in the land setting us back 50 to 60 years, you know, with all the other stuff that's coming up.
Right. But that's why I call this time in our life, it's an assault on democracy. Everything that we progress with, we're starting to digress because of what our Supreme Court has put on the table. And I tell you this, I am just so upset with everything. When they just, we know Roe versus Wade. I still think that people won in the ladies' court. And what I fear about Roe versus Wade, how many of these abortion places would do anything to get business and not be regulated by the local health department or Department of Health issues? So the unconventional ways of abortion. And that's what I'm afraid of. We've all heard horror stories in our lifetime about that. But now you're throwing that out. That's one thing. Then the gun control, Second Amendment. Now remember, the Second Amendment came about when the North and the South got through fighting. According to my history book. And they used their muskets to protect their family once we became a union. A musket, not an AR-15, 16, 17, 18, whatever the case may be. But now you're doing that. You can't shoot Bambi with an assault rifle, those who are out deer hunting. What would you have? Be no more deer sausage. This chili, because your AR-15 has destroyed what you're shooting. And it's not for game. We know what they're having. People are afraid. They've pushed the needle so far to the left that they are afraid. And we all know when we were growing up, you had to duke it out. But when one felt, he or she felt they couldn't duke it out with you, they brought something in there, a gun, a knife, even a baseball bat. I fought somebody with a baseball bat. See how we move forward, but we're still running backwards? We got a lot. We got a lot on the table. And this whole thing, and I ran a list last week. Let me run it again for you. Roe versus Wade. Global warming. They still don't want to recognize that. All right. You have environmental same-sex marriage. Maybe the next thing on the table. Prayer in school. How many times we had a moment of silence that led to after the Pledge of Allegiance? They don't even want a prayer moment. Same-sex marriages. And then last and not least, and definitely not least, we learned that there was a separation between the church and the state. Now, we're all the same age, so you understand what I'm saying. And then we're attacking all of that. It's unbelievable. This clock is going backwards. And those who have listened to me over the years, those who have listened to me over the years, know that time is going backwards. Go ahead.
And what's so ironic about it, one of the leaders and pushing it backwards on the Supreme Court, the most tenured person on there now, is the person that looks like us. But certainly, you know, doesn't seem to have our interests at heart. Now, wouldn't it be ironic? Because there's a lot of people would like to see them come after interracial marriage as well.
Yeah. And that hit him pretty close to home, don't it?
Exactly. That's what I said. Wouldn't that be ironic?
Well, if you know like I know, if he want to go to sleep with two eyes closed, I don't think he's going to come forth with it. Unless he's ready to walk. But that sleeping giant is not talking. And I still think, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers. Before I do that, for those who are listening, welcome to the world according to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A this morning. And just remember, this is your platform. We want you to get some things out. If something's going on in your neighborhood, hey, let us know. You know, one thing this world is missing is dialogue. And this is a great platform for you to get things out. I want to say good morning to Cheryl Smith. I want to say good morning to the Williams family. Got a chance to be with them yesterday. I wish it would have been on a better occasion. But my fraternity brother was laid to rest, Carl Leon Williams. I want to say good morning to his family as well. But this is a platform where we can talk. We don't have the checkerboard moments like we used to. Some still do the beauty shop, but you get in the beauty shop and you're out of there. The barbershop still carry the tradition of just talking trash, you know, when we go. But this is a platform where you can get it out, and I want you to respect the fact that it is Sunday morning. So try to articulate yourself in a nice way. I appreciate that. Go ahead, gentlemen. Let's talk about it. Keep going.
Well, like I say, I'm just gonna call his name with Clarence Thomas. I mean, it's just, I think from the time he's been on the court, he's never had the interests of people who look like him at heart. You just wonder how this. I've never understood how this man's mind works as it relates to that. I just wonder about that, but. But there's a lot of stuff that you would thought would be untouchable.
Right.
That's now popping back up. And it's almost like, are we, as a people, we talked about responsibility earlier with Brittany Griner, we as a people got to accept some responsibility
in that
complacency on our part.
As a people
and as a society in general.
You know? Right. And we like you said, Lonnie, we have to take the responsibility. And if you're traveling abroad, you're not going to do any mischief. You have nothing to worry about. Leave your extracurricular activity in your country. That's my first advice. Because we don't have the notoriety of Brittany Griner that made the country is going to be trying to do everything to get back. You and I, common folk, may get over there and they say, well, Andrew should have known. I don't know why.
And not even, as far as the responsibility for her, but I mean us as a people and being responsible for our neighborhoods, for the way our people carry themselves. And, I mean, how did we get here? Obviously, you know, society has conspired and our own government has conspired to to have us in, quote unquote, for lack of a better word, the traditional ghettos, you know, of a couple of decades back where we're not in the best conditions. But at the same time, on our part, you know, people became complacent. People were satisfied with that. And, you know, now look, we're things that we thought were untouchable, voting rights, civil rights, all of these things are now at risk again. At risk again.
But, you know,
so.
But as we can read, Lonnie, you made a very valid point there. Seems like the hands of time is turning backwards. And it's by design. We've gotten so many advances that they affirmative action was great. We got in jobs. And we got opportunities, Clarence Thomas, to be where we are today. But then when you sit up there and forget how you got there, I got an issue with that. We don't make it to everybody makes it. You know, we might have the house on the lake, the house at the golf course, you know. But until everybody's over there, we have not arrived. We can't drive in the hood no more. We forgot where it was. You know, we understand certain places you don't need to be in the dark. That could be said here in Dallas, in Highland Park, Harold. But it doesn't stop you from going over there and seeing how things going, if it's progressing or dying out. One thing I can say, Lonnie, about the people in Dallas, and I'm sure in cities around the country, I've never seen the camaraderie of people who graduated from Lincoln High School, the great James Madison, Roosevelt, Carter, Kimball, South Oak Cliff, where we lived here in Dallas. And when they have reunions, celebrations, I'm telling you, folks coming out. They are coming out. But then when you look at Tampa, let me get closer to home. All we had was Blake and Middleton. At one point, when they integrated, Tampa was the only city, probably in the world, that did not have an all-black high school when they integrated. Middleton High School, where my mother graduated, ended up being a middle school or junior high. Blake High School, where my dad graduated, ended up being a junior high school. Now they're back. But they're not. Middleton may be all black compared to what Blake is now. Blake is a performing arts high school. But just see how they've been on this road for so long. And for Tampa, Miami Jackson didn't lose their character. Northwestern didn't lose their character. We sure know Booker T didn't lose no character. Booker T lost his character here. It's a performing art. We'll give you the name, but we're going to change the format of the school. It's all a plan. And folks, don't get caught sleeping at the wheel. I'm not telling you to start no revolution, but don't be revolutionized. You got to stand up. Old saying, if you don't stand up for something, you fall for anything. We got to get out here. We got to vote together. We got to make policies. We got to make this thing work, too. We talked about Juneteenth a couple of weeks ago. 2 years of free labor this country got. As I look at it now, they're still getting free labor. Because our salaries are not comparable. We do the same work. Promotions are not granted like they used to. You have to go and get your own business. And even the headaches with your own business, you don't get the revenue like other industries in your area. So this is a battle we've been fighting before we came about, while we're here, and probably going to be fighting for a while. Where do we go?
I think one of the things, one of the things we got to also remember, Drew, is the stuff that what we use to get us what we needed to be. It's almost like you when you date. You're whining, you're dining, you're putting in all the extra time, and then once you've secured your wife, I mean, if you're not doing the same stuff that helped get the wife, then guess what? You become complacent, and I think we as a people we became complacent. You know, we got satisfied. We got probably at least two generations that probably never been churched. You know, so those things that strengthened the family unit was a big, you know, when we lost a lot of that, guess what? You lost one of your major sources of a strength and unity.
Right.
So, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I said we as a people got to accept, you know, some responsibility for a lot of this. And then, of course, the government is going to conspire to perpetuate that and to focus on that. So that's the part that I mean, during the civil rights movement, think how people organized to make sure people who were bus boycotted got to work. But we've got to accept a certain level of responsibility as a people, you know, for that. But the answer is I'm not sure what the answer is at this point.
Well,
sure.
I think part of it, Lonnie, you hit on a point. We must embrace our own history. I think about when you talk about the bus boycott, Montgomery, Tallahassee, other places throughout this country. When we couldn't sit in the front, we had to sit in the back. Now we driving the buses, and I look at these kids when they ride the buses, some adults. Well, y'all in the back of the bus now. When we driving the bus, you would sit in the front. Don't let Rosa Parks work go in vain. See, we fail to realize or exercise our rights that others have given us. We'd rather sit in the back of the bus. Come on. How many people fought? And half of the kids don't even know she fought to sit in the front of the bus. And see, we're not teaching like we used to. Certain things Big Mama used to tell you, your parents, about the struggles. Do we have those conversations with our kids, grandkids, and let them know how far we've come, that you just don't have the cell phone because you 18, 19, or look, even 10. People made sacrifices. And Harold, I know you know where I'm going with this. Alexander Graham Bell, y'all know he ain't just started over. Telephone? Yeah, Jedediah, the line.
Jedediah.
City. And what did he say, Harold, when he was calling back Mr. Bell?
Hey, Miss Bell.
No. Hello? Hello? But I'm just saying, how can we move forward when we don't embrace where we've been?
Mm-hmm.
I think America should be, but we've been under attack the whole time we've been over here, and that's fine. But when you get your niche in this world, let's reach back and grab somebody with them. They do it all the time. No, the kids are not prepared to take over Fortune 500 companies. But guess what? They do it.
Yep.
Learn your craft. Teach somebody else in your family your craft. They may not go, but we can embrace kids. Go talk to schools. Go talk with organizations. At least give kids an opportunity to learn what else is out there.
Everybody ought to be a fireman, police officer. That's fine. But not only be maybe a forensic scientist. You know, maybe investigator for police arson. I mean, for arson as it relates to fires and stuff. Let's take it to another level. Yeah, I thought it was cool. You know what I wanted to be? A lot of people don't even know this, and I'm going to go ahead and share it with you. The coolest thing that used to happen to me, and now I understand why my parents used to look at me like I lost my mind. I wanted to be a garbage man.
I was right there with you. That had to be the coolest thing ever to ride in the back of that truck, bro.
Yeah, and they had their own language. Yo!
Yeah.
Oh! You know, that was cool as a kid.
Yeah, man.
But see, not only be the garbage man, be the guy or young lady that run waste management. See what I'm saying? Let's make this thing, let it grow. Not only ride the truck, drive the truck, even buy the truck. That's how we got the thing. Because these young folks, some of them don't even have a clue. Don't have a clue where they're going.
Well, part of that, like I said, you've heard me talk about this before, that's that double-edged sword of integration. You know, as it progressed, you know, we went from having a bunch of teachers in the neighborhood or that looked like us that always had our best interests at heart that was going to definitely nurture and, you know, pour into you. Teachers that don't necessarily have your best interest at heart ain't going to pour nothing into you. And if you ain't getting no reinforcement from home, so if grandmama or somebody trying to raise and do the best they can because mama or daddy ain't there, and they can't get to the school, then guess what? That teacher that don't look like you, that don't necessarily have your best interest, if they don't see nobody coming, don't seem to care about you, they ain't going to care. They ain't going to put that extra effort and time in. And you combine that with the fact that now we got a couple of generations that may have may not been churched. And I don't know about you, and sound like both of you. I know you, Andrew. What was one of the places we got a lot of nurturing and education and confidence at? In the church and Sunday school.
Sunday school. So I learned more in Sunday school. But again, you had people who were at Sunday school were also the teachers. So in Sunday school, you learn more. I owe a lot to who I am from a gentleman, you hate to call out names, but a guy named Clyde Allen, who was an old social studies teacher when Blake Middleton was strong, and he taught the senior class Sunday school at my church. We learned more, we talked. And you know what? They supported you. I played sports, and he'd tell me, that was a nice little catch over the middle of I saw you drop the ball, or you missed a tackle. I mean, I said, boy, you pay attention. So not only did you want your parents to see, but your friends and your Sunday school teachers. And they made you feel special. It wasn't the millions of dollars that these kids get on TV now. You felt proud because they thought enough about it.
Right. So the challenge is trying to replace that or replicate that kind of thing in the midst of more broken families and those kids not necessarily having, you know, that support at home and then not having somewhere, say, like a church or Sunday school where they're going to get, you know, that additional nurturing and learning. That's what I said. That's the double-edged sword of integration,
you know.
So it came at a price.
Right. And it was a mastermind. You know, I'm reminded of, and I'll give credit where credit is due, with Joe Madison. He said it used to be Jim Crow laws. Now it's James Esquire. You know, they dress it up. They still doing the same thing. Now they got a shirt and tie, nice dress on, and they just feel entitlement. A way things are going. And any company that's black always feel the wrath of not being able to get all the resources that are needed to succeed. But we have made, I've always said, we've made lemonade out of lemons. We made it happen. We've taken the sour things and made it great. Sweet things, we've taken corn and made cornbread. Molasses and made syrup, I mean, one of the same, but we made it. And even though they were very negative with Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima, they know who kept these homes together. When you had the ham, we had to learn what it was to cook pig feet, pig ears, pig snout, tails. Then you get the ribs, hog jaw. Oh, we made it work. There's an old saying, we can eat anything from the rooter to the tooter on these cows as well. Beef tripe. I'll never forget the first time I saw a tongue sitting up, beef tongue. I'm like, I'm sure if I would have able to, look, if I was able to cuss then, I probably would have said something. And I said, well, how are we going to eat something that's going to lick back at you? You know, I got popped in the head then. But it's not high on my food list. But our people learn how to survive. They got the string beans. Oh, what's that big leaf over there? Ooh, let's cook it down with some bacon. Let's call it collard greens. Let's call it mustards. Whatever, all these greens. And we still eat them today. But our forefathers and foremothers made the most of nothing. Made it work.
And just like anything that we seem to take the lemons and make the lemonade and take the oxtails and make them taste good. And the next thing you know, they want to hijack it. And all of a sudden, it's a boutique or designer, you know, inexpensive expensive meal now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuff that used to be wanting to be thrown away. Nobody wants any, but wanted any part of it. But, you know, one of the biggest challenges I think we're facing is the whole issue of the voting rights thing, because if we don't get mobilized and are voting like we should be voting, and there's no chance of getting the people out of office that are definitely, you know, working contrary to what we're trying, you know, to do. And if they have their way, they would like to set society back, particularly brown and black people and minorities, because I think they're just desperate at this point.
I think
they're desperate to hold on to power at any cost.
Uh-huh, that's necessary.
We've already seen that, you know, they were willing to try to just overthrow the government.
Right. Well, Lonnie, I noticed here, and good morning, Cheryl Smith, who is a rattler that kind of opened the door and allowed me in. When we used to work for the all-black radio stations here in Dallas, it was talk radio, and we were able to do things. And people that were coming to the studio when we were back in the studio were asked, I can't believe y'all still on the air. And we had people from Houston, 4 hours away, like a drive from Tampa to Tallahassee, that said that they had killed the black radio, talk radio. And this was the time where conservative radio was starting to kick up. And we had a jewel and did not know it, of reaching people. And Lonnie, you talk about voting rights and people getting there. They knew if you were over on the east side of town to go to Reverend Johnson's church, and they have a van ready to take you to the poll. We had great turnouts in Dallas. Great turnouts throughout this country. But when they killed our radio station, right there in Tampa alone, is WTNC still operating?
I think so. Not under the same format, but I think they did come back a little bit.
Right. We had WANM. Now, in Tallahassee, it's a different story. They may, but they, you know, kids listen to all kind of genres of music now. But they still may keep an interest in the black neighborhood. But we don't have anything. We've even lost our gospel station, one of them, that was on a political front. And KKDA, sad. I learned more on KKDA than I've ever learned. But those are the things that they know, they realize. They're getting information. How are they getting information? Let's cut them off. And that's how these stations lost from around the country. So it's a systematic approach they're taking. But we got to stand up. Those who have a little money, get with those who have money, and let's get it back. You look at BET. Oh, yeah, we love BET. But who owns BET? Do y'all know who owns BET? Viacom, CBS. So what we saw when Bob Johnson had BET, we thought he ain't gonna make it. He made a lot of money. Now I was upset, but you can't fault a guy if somebody offer you that kind of money. When he was the owner, I know Michael Jordan is a part owner of the Charlotte Hornets. But Bob Johnson, when he brought the franchise to Charlotte, they were called the Charlotte Bobcats. See, people didn't know he got it after his name, Bobcat. As soon as the name became available, the folks in Charlotte said, nah, that reminded me too much of Robert Johnson. Let's go ahead and change it back to the Hornets. You see how things work? When we're in the driver's seat, they try to take a wheel off your car. Take two wheels off, opposite sides, so you can't roll. Affirmative action in reverse. Now you're talking about textbooks. And to this day, I say it anytime I'm out, what does a math book have to do with critical race theory? I don't ever remember a textbook saying, if Bubba had 5 apples and Cheryl had 10, when they put it together, you would say Bubba and Cheryl had apples. So they make it seem like Bubba took all the apples. Now, if I'm saying something you familiar with or not familiar with, let me know. How can a book, a math book, and I'm talking about Florida right now. Lonnie, did you grow up there like I did? Was there anything derogatory about math?
No. And what's so incredible about that, you know, like they said, they're talking out of both sides of their neck. Now, when we was coming up, it was okay for them to have only names that were associated with Caucasians in the books for word problems. But now the minute there's anything that may use a name from a different culture, oh, now all of a sudden you want to call it critical race theory. So it's you know, they want to have it both ways.
Right.
They want to have it both ways. Nothing to identify or reinforce or some child of ethnicity or of a different culture that can identify with, oh, no, that's you promote critical race theory. And that's their whole premise that they push, you know, behind it. Or if you say Susie, you know, or Janet and her wife, you know, Janie or something like that, then they say, oh, you're pushing, you know, same-sex marriage. So it's, you know, but it's okay if they only use, you know, for back of lack of a better term, Lily White, you know, nomenclature. It's okay.
Right. In that,
so, you know, we grew up, what, looking with textbooks with only people that did, nobody looked like us.
No.
In the textbook.
Nobody.
Nobody.
And You know, I asked the question, why is it Mayor Ann and Skiffle? They ain't had not one black person come to Gilligan's Island that I know of. If he did, he showed me. I missed that episode. Not one. Well, what's his brother be chilling and reach out and say hello to Gilligan and Mary Ann? See, they never, did y'all notice that? Now, give it to Josie and the Pussycats. They had one black lady. I'm going to give them that. They caught my attention.
Yeah.
But TV, when, you know, they talk about the Jeffersons and Maude and Good Times, and it may be reflective of those times. You know, it's entertainment now, but we were really behind the eight ball. But when you have a metaphor about a lead black doctor, whether it's male or female, then it's not real. It's fiction to those. And which is unfair. But then again, in Critical Race, we all read Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn. It wasn't no problem as long as they, how you, ma'am? How you, sir? Wasn't no problem. Wasn't no problem with it. They don't want their kids to realize how the world is. And then these are young parents. These are not the old parents. These are not the old parents. This is the 40, 45 to 35 parents that are taking books out of the library. One area just north of Dallas, McKinney, Texas, they took over 100 school books, 100 books out of the library. Now, you know you can read 100 books. I applaud anybody that's read 100 books in their life. That's a great thing. If you're a journalist, you may have read over 100 books. But if you take a town, I'm talking about even with the books we read in school, over 100 books. And I'm going to raise the bar over 200. And I know it's going to get smaller.
Yeah, they took a bunch of the books. That's been going all throughout Florida. One county after another. One county after another. Any reason that they could, you know, to say that it was promoting the critical race theory or it's pushing same-sex marriage, they tried to make anything seem like it was pushing a social agenda. And they wanted to yank it. And did. And there was some kind of thing where, I guess, they discovered that it was this one individual, I think, here in Florida that had protest is something you can challenge. Anybody can do it, supposedly. And she was responsible for over 100 and some books. And they asked her, have you read these books? And she was like, no, most of them I haven't. But just either from what she'd heard or from the title or one or two sentences or the premise, you know, behind the book, she challenged them. And during the challenge, they have to be pulled. One individual. One Caucasian lady.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow.
Wow. Had it been us. You know, we'd had Rashid. And you know what? Everybody didn't name their child Rashid. Malika. None of that. You know what? Some of us have pretty common names. That if you write something, you know, why is it such a trigger in their minds? But all this, Lonnie, is a cake. That they're baking currently. They're messing with your rights as far as voting, messing with the knowledge of the past. You know, I'm always saying, how would you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been?
And that's what they're trying to take out completely, right? So that, I mean, it's already lacking, you know, if that child is not coming up in a family that's made a concerted effort to make sure that, you know, they know the history, they know the ethnicity, they know the pride and the kind of people that they come from, then they're certainly not going to really get it, you know, in school. It's got to be a concentrated, focused, deliberate effort to get that to a child.
Mm-hmm.
You combine that to discriminatory practices in lending and housing and everything else, you know, all the other economic, you know, factors that are working against you. And it's a real assault on our people.
Oh, absolutely. Always have been. And let me add this. I want to thank, we had one of our faithful listeners text me to tell me that they did invite the Harlem Globetrotters to Gilligan's Island. They never did say how they got there. The boat, I think something happened to the boat, but they were able to leave the island. And they didn't want Metal Locker Curly to talk to Ginger. Because I know somebody would have talked to her, Barry. They might even, let me keep it like the young folk, they might even had a shout out for Miss Howell. What's up, Miss Howell? For those who are listening, welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum. Hey, you know what? The things are so serious. We need to not only be informed, but we, you know, sometimes you have to laugh, not to cry, the way this country is starting to go. And that's why I enjoy doing what I do. And we just want you to kind of chime in. Let us know what's going on in your neighborhood as well. And you can have a good conversation about things that are going on in the world that you won't get. You know, what is the young lady? Tamara Hall, with her news going out. She was on mainstream. They pushed her to the side. Ed Gordon, who was doing things for BET. You know, we go back. We have Cheryl, who's telling it like it is. And, you know, a lot of our black newspapers are gone. Or if not gone, they're not getting that information out that we need. So it's hard doing the media part, but you have to keep going. And if you can reach two or three, you've done extremely well, especially in today's society. I tell you this, whatever's being pushed out there, we have people running ABC News, Good Morning Tim Godwin, running ABC News. We have people who are with ABC, the Disney family. You know, they have a lot going on. They seem to support a lot of different things. If you look on ESPN now, look at the mad entrance. And mad meaning good, not bad or upset. Are the sisters that's on the NBA. They run it. They're becoming more hosts. So ABC or Disney gets it. CBS trying. They trying. And then the only other than that, like NBC, I've been trying to figure out what they've been doing. And even locally, they have hired more blacks on there. But you know, we always going to be 6 o'clock. On Saturday, 6 o'clock in the morning. We kill in the morning shows. But when I get off of work, I want to see a couple of faces that look like mine as well. You can split it. Most of them have two anchors. So this gives us an opportunity, this platform, to get some things out. I enjoy just talking with people. I got a lot of friends, places that bring a lot to the table. And It it makes me feel good that we were given the opportunity to talk. How long did it last? You know, I don't worry about that. I just try to make sure that we want to do some things too. And we have another caller. It's about 9:40. All you got to do call is press 1, and I'll see where you press 1, and I'll be able to bring you on board. And that's for all the callers. We have a nice assortment of folks on this morning. We have a caller. Good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. 561. Good morning. You're hot. Unmute yourself, maybe, in the 561 area code.
I apologize. This is Andre Leaker from Tallahassee.
Well, good. Welcome, welcome.
Thank
Glad you.
I've enjoyed everything thus far, and I agree 100% with everything that you all have said. And, you know, I have kind of had the conversation with a number of people, you know, as to how things are going over the last couple of years. And we all kind of agree that all of this really started when Barack came in, that, you know, white folks just couldn't handle it, that a brother was running the country. And they were like, what can we do to ensure that this doesn't happen again? And the gentlemen there who live in Florida, you know, they know Florida. I believe that it's been a concerted effort to make sure that blacks who are trying to do something in Florida, they do whatever they can to make sure they find anything that they can on them. And I don't know why we don't realize that we can't do what they do, because they're going to have people spying on you all the time. Andrew, the other brother, I can't call his name right now, that was in the house, that was doing well, he was going to be the highest one there. You know, they just got him. So I'm just saying, we have to be spotless almost, you know, when we get out there, because they don't want us to be out there. And they're trying to do everything they can, like you said, you know, to erase everything. And we just have to make sure that our kids know, you know, where we're from, you know, the pride that we have and everything, because they're trying to take it all away from us. So those are my comments. Thank you.
All right. We appreciate you. Appreciate you. You're always welcome. And, you know, she made a point. We keep spinning it back and forth about the kids not getting what they need. And I think part of it is that the parents are not trying to teach at home. Lonnie made a very valid point. When you were at Sunday school or at church, you learned so much. They took that kinship. It was that whole village that we always talk about, raising the child. When you go to church and everybody knew who you were, they took turns just giving you little nuggets to go with. And Harold and I talked the short time I've been in Dallas, talk about Miss Bedford over at Albert Sidney Johnson, which they changed. He was a Confederate Army member or whatever, and they changed the name over to Cedar Crest Elementary School. So that's going on. But we still, if it wasn't for Martin Luther King, Booker T. Washington, that's it. I can't think of no other school. There might be some elementary schools in certain particular school districts that they've named after blacks, but those with national notoriety, we don't see those schools. There may be a Barack Obama school. Do we have a James Weldon Johnson? Only in Jacksonville. But you better believe Abraham Lincoln School is ours. The JFKs are ours. It is all dressed up, folks. It is dressed up how things are going in this country. And we're going to have to get out here and preserve the treasures that we've been given, passing it to your kids, passing it to your nieces, nephews, grandkids. That's the only way the story will be preserved. We have to do our due diligence to tell the story. It's about 15 minutes to the hour. You're listening to The World According to Drew. I am Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A here in beautiful, beautiful Dallas, Texas. Kind of hot. Like I said earlier, the sun was coming in the studio and booming. And, folks, we have about 15 minutes left. If you have something or comment, please press 1. I want to hear from you. We've had some good callers on this morning, making sure that we get things, you know, given their perspective. We want to hear from you. Some of the things we've talked about this morning, we talked about Brittany Griner. We talked about, you know, my question is, you know, she needs to be home. I think it's becoming a political pawn. She's becoming a political pawn in this situation. Well, she needs to come home. I want to know why TSA, if she got caught on that end, why did TSA let her leave? I know she's a celebrity, but you got to hold everybody accountable. If I went over to Russia right now and they had me, you know, it's, God forbid, somebody would say, let's go get him. But they trying to get people with big names. And all this, I'm sure, is tied into Ukraine. We've given the money over there. So what can we get from you, America? We can't get your money.
or your support. So they're probably going to use it as a political pawn, which is very unfair to her to be caught in the middle of that. But we have to be careful. I made mention of Singapore. A diplomat went over there. His son broke the law. He got caned. Absolutely caned. So those are the things that we think about. Again, folks, if you want to get in, press one. We'll get you on and find out what's going on in your neck of the woods. I still feel that we are having an assault on democracy. Roe versus Wade. You next to school board, Ferguson, and you name every other thing that's gone through the integrated school. Because you know what? You know how they're dealing with integration now? Brown versus the Board of Education, where everybody can study together. They started charter schools. And these charter schools, they may have one or two, but these kids are fighting for their lives within these charter schools. The public school system is not for my children. They have a bunch of hoodlums and this. Well, you know, I always say it's how you perceive it. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? Just depends on who's telling the story. So, folks, it's there with us. And I want to say this. You've been hearing the dog bark. Please support the pet population. Please have your dog spayed or neutered. I have to say that this morning. So, Lonnie, I know Lonnie's been holding on. I'm going to go back to you for a minute.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Now, you know, we talked about those schools. We talked about how Tampa at one time did not have any all-black high school. Now we get to one being a magnet high school. What is the feel in Tampa about what's going on? Are there any people in the forefront now speaking out? I know we had the Leslie Miller. Have they turned the torch over to anybody in Tampa?
You mean as far as the charter schools and stuff?
Well, yeah, we're down in charter schools, just in general, our state of blackness in Tampa.
Well, like you said, the two previously, the black schools that, you know, that made them magnets, well, you know, they made black a magnet school. Middleton, you know, has struggled. But the big push is, like you said, for charter schools. That's, you know, that's the thing. That's the, as opposed to fixing the schools that have to get these poor grades, the answer is more charter schools. And then, you know, the vouchers supposedly for the kids to be able to go to the charter schools. They're constantly shifting principals around, and we've got people, you know, that look like us in certain places. But generally speaking, it's, you don't have, in my opinion, a lot of the nurturing on a widespread basis that should be going on, black guidance counselors that can give these kids the kind of guidance and acknowledgement that they need early enough on. And we try to, in our church youth group, we try to just grab these kids early and with the parents and a lot of times grandparents and make them understand, okay, starting here, these kids need to be in these kind of classes so when they get to high school, they've got room for dual enrollment and those kind of things so they'll be in a position to then be able to get into college. And nothing says free like free where you've already got 1 or 2 years of college credit already, but you've got to start early and you've got to be educated on that whole scenario early on. And I just tell people the circle that you're in, you've got to just work within the circle that you have. You've got to work within the circle that you have. Because there's a lot of resources out there, but a lot of them are not necessarily being utilized or taken advantage of.
Right. And then those who are out here listening, if you have resources or access to those resources that can help with scholarships, make sure you let people know in your area. If you with Masons, Eastern Stars, fraternities, sororities, Baptist conventions, AME conventions, spread the word. We can get the word out. You know, we tell it to the churches, the word get out where our kids can have these resources. Because the bulk of our kids, when they get out of school, guess what? They're in debt. Why can't we start out like the other folks? You start out not paying on student loans. And that shenanigan, I had to catch myself. I was about to say something. With Enron down in Houston. You know how many people lost their money investing in Enron? Have we heard anything else about Enron? No. I understand that Tampa had their teachers' credit union or teachers' investments. Their investments were with Enron, and a lot of people lost out. So it's a lot going on in this country. In this country, and we have to take the bull by the horns. You know, think about what Harriet Tubman, they had no telephones, but they got the message out. If you wanted to go north, you wanted to get freed, you free yourself. Let's get on this train. She migrated all the way from the south to the north. And if you ever go to Cincinnati, Ohio, go see it. Go see the African-American Museum there. Anywhere in your hometowns, if you have them, go check and see how people go. I had a caller 2 weeks ago talking about she was in Tallahassee, and she went to some black museum. Y'all know I was biting at the bit, those who went to FAMU. You know I was biting. I said, what's it called? The Black Archives on the campus of Florida A&M University. I said, That's it. Oh, you can't remember? But you went to Florida State. Sound like selective amnesia. But there are places here, and we have to embrace our culture, because if we don't, it's going to be lost. And if you're not sure, you know, it don't take but a little bit of tea to make the water brown. And you use your imagination on that one. That's all it takes, just a little bit to turn it brown. We need to embrace what we have. Your niece and nephew, family, if you have an African-American museum, take them. Find where they are in your prospective states. Atlanta is rich with them. Let them know how we started out. Embrace. Even make them do a little assignment if you have young grandchildren, even the ones before they go to college. Find out something about Rosewood, Tulsa, Chubb, Georgia, Dallas, Texas. You know, think about Montgomery when they had a bus boycott. Guess what? They had one in Tallahassee, too. Let them find out how we got where we are, how we're staying in the suburbs of these big cities in America. I didn't do it. It's other people that paved the way to get me where I am today. That's what we need to focus on. We can't solve all problems, but we can enhance and mask some of the problems that we're having. Again, how can you move forward when you don't know where you've been? It's amazing how we don't know. And I'm just making light of the situation. Jenkins Barbecue. If you don't know what Jenkins Barbecue is in Jacksonville, I don't think you know you're from Jacksonville. In Tampa, Moses White may not be there, but you know where Bexley is. See what I'm saying? They're those little places where we've always met. Tallahassee is a different breed. I got it. I can't think of the place. It used to be right there off Orange Avenue. Now she's on Adams with the seafood. Just give me a break this morning. Mine's going a million places. Something with an L. Lonnie, do you know Audrey Lucas? Seafood place. She used to be right there in front of NIMS.
Oh. Yeah,
Leola.
Leola's crab. Yeah, right. See, we know where we go eat. But they're disguised. Leola's has... let me tell you about a place in Dallas. It is a black chef, and the sister can make some collard greens, y'all. I don't know what she uses substitute for meat. She, you know, she's healthy, but she can make some collard greens. Got her own restaurant. You see more white folks eating collard greens than we do.
Sam, I told you earlier, anything that we've made into a staple of our culture, they try to hijack it. Remember I talked about that?
Oh, yeah. They've always hijacked. And I keep saying it. I'm going to stand on this till I don't have a breath in my body. Alexander Graham Bell got credit. Credit for the telephone. You know he, and my line is Jedediah stretched the line from pole to pole or tree to tree. Ben Franklin, you know when it was raining and lightning, he wasn't out there. Jedediah was flying that kite. Mr. Franklin, I think the lightning put a spark on him. So there are a lot of things that we have not gotten credit for. And with this critical race theory that's going on right now, they want to make sure their kids don't realize some of the items. And, we always hear about the real McCoy, Elijah McCoy, making brake couplers for trains. Because the brother got tired of trying to stop it with his feet. I'm making light of it, but we've always been able to think so that we don't have to work harder. We work smarter, and they can't understand that. Why not embrace our contribution to this country? We didn't ask to come over here. And I got a feeling deep in my soul, we were here before they got here. Columbus discovered America. How can you discover something that's already there? American Indians. And if you come to Oklahoma, y'all, there's a lot of black Indians. They don't tell that in the book. We hear about Geronimo. How about any name you could come up with? But they don't tell. But we got to wake up, folks. And again, we hear every Sunday, let's have a conversation. That's all we got to do. That conversation may lead to other things that we can share with our family members. But in order for us to get in place, in the right place in this country, is to talk. And we don't talk enough. I want to thank my guests for being on this morning. I want to always thank Cheryl Smith as well, a rattler, for giving me the opportunity to do what I do. And I take advantage of it. So wherever you go and whatever you do, always remember who you are and whose you are. And when times get low and hard, there's only one time, God. I'm out. Peace.